Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
As we'll roll out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you, yeah, you, would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a brand new one posted up there. It was sometime this morning. I don't remember quite when it popped up there, but swing on by there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and, you know, heck, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and give it a like. Of course, don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
And all right, Dan, well, we have the player who just continues to give us news in the NFL, good, bad, or indifferent. And that, of course, would be Antonio Brown, who is now a Patriot. If you haven't heard, I'm sure pretty much everybody has heard by now. He is being charged, and the key phrase in this is civil lawsuit of rape. I know some people are describing it as sexual assault. I've seen others describe it as rape. There is a difference between civil and criminal, and Dan will get into that when he gets a chance. But, Dan, if you're New England, what the hell do you do with this guy? I mean, he's been with your team a week.
That's what you get. Right.
I don't know. I mean, normally it's just, you know, I mean, this is a lot worse than crying over a helmet or messing up your feet or having an argument with your GM type of thing. I mean, and again, you know, I got to continue to state this over and over. This is not criminal. All right, there will be no arrest warrants. He will not be arrested. Nothing like that is going to come of this. This is strictly a civil lawsuit, and I believe the complainant's name is a former trainer of his. I thought I heard them say her name was Brittany Taylor. And basically what she is asking for is a monetary sum for whatever went down between her and Antonio Brown. He, of course, says this was consensual, and it's going to play out. But, I mean, you know, if you're New England, Dan, can you actually put him on the field in a game, or do you have to kind of keep him until they see where this goes?
I just assumed that he was going to be out, you know, per the NFL, be put on the exempt list. So I was, you know, but I didn't really read into the article. I'm kind of surprised that it is civil and it's not criminal. Because I don't know what state it's from or the statute of limitations, but I wouldn't think that's up now.
Yeah, that was the thing that was so confusing with me when it comes to these cases is, you know, why. I guess I get it, because when it's a criminal or when it's a civil lawsuit like this, I mean, technically, you know, anybody can bring a civil lawsuit against anybody else. I mean, I can bring a civil lawsuit against you for starting World War I. The problem, of course, is I have to be able to prove it. So, you know, I guess I understand this, but I think the thing that always baffles me with this is, If this truthfully happened, and from the report, apparently it happened multiple times, why didn't she report it to the police?
Yeah.
So, and just so you know, Dan, it was in the state of Florida. So, but yeah, it says here she's accusing him of sexually assaulting her on 3 occasions. I would kind of hear after one of those occasions, you'd call the police, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's just address that statute of limitations in Florida is 3 years.
Okay.
So, depending on, when the alleged accident or incident took place, maybe she's, past that 3-year mark. And, I think part of it is, for her, I hate to say it, but being the woman in a man's world, maybe she didn't want to lose her job.
There is a little more information here, Dan. Apparently, 2 of these assaults took place in 2017 while in the Pittsburgh area. One of them took place there, and then 2 of them took place last year in the Miami area. So there, they could still prosecute criminally. Apparently, this woman is willing and planning to meet with the NFL next week. So I don't know. I do find it interesting that it also states here that she is getting married soon. Obviously these are serious allegations, but the more I read into this, Dan, I almost just kind of think it's somebody looking for a payday. Almost like the Derrick Rose situation.
Yeah, I mean, number one, if this happened last year, like I stated, the statute of limitations is 3 years, she could immediately be in, the police station documenting everything and getting this out there. And the way Florida is, they're hard up on any crime, so you can't get away with anything in Florida. If I were doing anything illegal, I sure as hell would never do it in Florida. I'll be honest with you. Not that I do anything illegal anymore. but I think that's what makes it a little bit more difficult is that she's going after him civilly, basically for money. You could say that, she doesn't want to go through the stress of a trial and this and that. But if her name's already out there, then that negates that excuse. So what is the motive?
So, yeah, like I said, that's where, I'm really confused with this. And, I understand, it's horrible. And sadly, this happens, a lot more than it should to women. But, yeah, I'm just kind of, a little baffled by this one, kind of because of who's involved and, just the way it was handled. All of a sudden it was just kind of like, we're not going to prosecute anything criminally, but I'm going to go after you civilly so I can get money.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's weird to me.
The biggest difference is in a criminal case you have to give reasonable doubt. So, if you want to rewind back to 1994 or 5, whenever that was, OJ's team was able to, Johnny Cochran's team was able to present the information and put together a case of reasonable doubt, enough so that OJ was acquitted of, his crime or his alleged crime. But once he went into civil court, they deemed that he was responsible, and he had to pay damages. I don't know, to Ron Goldman's family and to Nicole Kidman's family, or Nicole Brown's family. Sorry, it's not a laughing matter. I just got the wrong name. So, but I also believe that the civil court, won't take as long to, you know, for it to process. So, you know, maybe that was one of the things she weighed in with her attorneys, was the fact that the criminal case will be drawn out. You know, how long? Who knows? Sadly, the first thing that popped into my mind, you know, knowing that it happened in Florida, but was Ben Roethlisberger, and knowing that they used to be friends, but they're no longer friends. So it's, you know, I mean, I know Antonio Brown, I don't believe, was there when that time happened, but just the connection right there just kind of, you know, impeded, kind of maybe leaning towards maybe he's guilty of this. You know, sometimes a man in Antonio Brown's position, though, may have tried to make a pass, and instead of letting go, he may have been too aggressive. You know, but like you said, it's interesting, the timing of everything, because you would think this would be the last thing a woman would want to do prior to her wedding, you know, to have to go through all this. But, you know, on the other side of it, maybe she's, you know, being married through a certain religion, you know, for instance, Catholic, you know, you kind of go through stuff to get married in a church. And this could have been something that was brought out and, you know, something she tried to bury and keep out there. But, I mean, there's a million different circumstances as to why. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's really hard to say, you know, but I think with it being a civil case that she will most likely win, or what usually happens, Big Jack, in a situation like this, settlement.
Yeah, there'll be some type of settlement to just make it all go away. So.
Yeah, well, and then the other side of the civil case is I believe that they can seal everything and it won't be public record.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, like, any, you know, either any attorney, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, let's, you know, let's keep this under wraps so nobody knows what's going on.
Because, you know, that would be, if Antonio Brown and his team go for, now, don't take me word for it, because I'm obviously not an attorney, but, you know, if they were to go for a settlement, I'm sure they will press that the only way they would settle is if the details of her implications would be never released to the public.
So,
you know, but kind of going back to where you started, you know, what do the Patriots do? I mean, do you want this pressure on your team? I mean, you know, in the press conference, it's the first thing Tom Brady did, yeah, regardless if he plays next week or not.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, even today, you know, Antonio Brown did practice with the team. Oddly, he was wearing uniform number one, which by NFL rule he couldn't wear in the game as a wide receiver. So it appears right now they haven't even decided on what number he's going to wear, let alone anything else. But, yeah, to no surprise, he was unavailable after practice. The Patriots had their five captains, though, in the locker room ready to face the media. And, yeah, I believe all the questions they were asked were about Antonio Brown. Nobody asked him about the upcoming game against Miami. So you could tell right away where the media is going to go and what they're going to care about, even though they are football reporters and they're guys who report on games. Well, I should say guys and gals who report on the games. You know, the only thing they care about now is trying to break, you know, get the big quote for the Antonio Brown story. So, you know, it'll be like that after, you know, the Patriots practice tomorrow and Friday's walkthrough. And when they, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I think they're in Miami. If they go to Miami on Saturday, those will be all the questions. And then even when after the game, even if Miami upsets them, the only questions anybody's going to be asking after the game is about Antonio Brown. So.
Well, you know, how interesting is that you said the latest incident happened a year ago in Miami? The timing is everything.
Yeah, and you got to wonder if maybe that's why. You know, maybe the woman's attorney looked at the schedule and realized New England would be in, you know, they'd be playing in Miami and figured this was as good a time as any to go through with this. So, you know, we'll see. You know, there are obviously still a chance that there could be a criminal proceeding, you know, through this, depending on what happens with the civil trial. Oddly, though, Dan, I have a feeling if they do try to press charges on Antonio Brown, I've got a feeling that she will refuse to testify against him. So
yeah,
that's just my guess there. You know, I don't know for a fact, but, yeah, that would be my guess. If they do try to prosecute him and they want to call her as a witness, I kind of have the feeling that she will not cooperate, and she will say that she doesn't want to testify. So, but yeah, so there's our Antonio Brown drama for the day. I just kind of wonder, you know, what could happen next. But you know, I guess Dan, if you're running the Patriots and you got your GM hat on, are you letting him play? Because I don't think I am.
No.
So
I'm out, or he's out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't go so far as to cut him, or, you know, I know there was some talk of maybe putting him on the exempt list. I don't think I would go that far until this plays out a little bit more, because I think I would like a few more details. Because right now I have a bunch of questions. So I don't want to disbelieve her, but I don't want to convict him either. So, you know, and I mean, obviously it's easy to convict him because, you know, let's face it, he hasn't been, you know, he doesn't have the best personal image right now. So, you know, I could see a lot of people, you know, jumping on him. And again, that's probably another reason why this is coming out right now. You know, it's the perfect time to jump on Antonio Brown. So, you know, it's just something that's probably going to play out over, you know, the next few weeks or possibly even months, depending on how long, you know, this gets strung out. So it's definitely going to be something we're going to be hearing about, you know, as long as it's out there. So batten down the hatches. All right, Dan, you didn't end up with Hunter Henry in any of our fantasy leagues, did you?
I don't even know who that is.
He's the San Diego Chargers tight end who, you know, I had heard originally they're saying he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Now I heard another report that said indefinitely. So I just want to know if you needed another tight end. But, you know, if you don't have them, you should be safe. I will be interested to see if they try to bring Antonio Gates back one more time. That's what they did last year when Henry tore his ACL. So, you know, I mean, obviously it's a nice fit. He is 39 though, so you're not getting the Antonio Gates. You're kind of getting a shell of that guy, but, you know, obviously he knows the system. He's got a great rapport with Phillip Rivers. So, you know, maybe that's, you know, otherwise they just worked out some kind of, you know, I guess you'd call them kind of veteran guys who have bounced around, you know, Luke Wilson, Will Tye, and Ben Kocek all got workouts today. So we'll see what they do. But, yeah, it might, you know, I think in their best interest, if Gates still wants to play, that may be the best way for them to go. But yeah, if you're, you know, if you're holding Hunter Henry, I hope your league has an IR, because it looks like he's going to be out for a little while. Do they have a little more? Yeah. Well, he does say here, Dan, he suffered a tibia plateau fracture to his left knee. So that doesn't sound fun. But we'll, you know, there is no, you know, like I said, the first timetable I saw said 4 to 6. And then like this one here I'm looking at right now says indefinitely. So I don't know. I don't know which one it'll be, but either way, if you got him, he's going to be out for a while and you should start looking for a replacement. Then hopefully you're in a small enough league to find one. Cause if you're in a league, like if you're in a league with like Dan and I, and you got 20 teams, it might be a little rough to find that guy. So
a little.
Yeah. So, you know, and to be honest, your best bet is to just kind of figure out who they're going to sign and pick him up. You know, because then at least you're getting a guy that, you know is going to get a little bit of a workload because it's difficult to go on the waiver wire and, you know, in our league and, you know, just find a guy or grab a guy. I mean, even though we no longer have the two tight ends in that one league, I mean, you're still looking at the majority of the teams have two tight ends. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if 35 or 36 tight ends were just drafted. You know, maybe a few more. I don't think every team has two tight ends, so I don't think we got to 40. But, you know, that's still a big number. So it cuts it real thin when you start looking for guys at this point. And, you know, that's what makes our leagues a lot tougher than everything else. And a lot of the reasons guys quit or don't come back or win the league and disappear or however you want to look at it. You know, it's just, it's difficult. It's not, you know, it's not your 8 or 10 team league where, you know, you lose an all pro guy and you go out on the waiver wire and you get another all pro guy. You know, that's not going to happen in our league. So,
sorry, I just pulled up my baseball lineup and.
Oh.
My catcher, first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, utility, and all my bench players are not playing.
Injured? Oh, so I thought you were going to say
they
were
all injured. I have Russell and Baez.
Oh.
They're injured. Buster Posey's out. And it's the first week of playoffs, so we'll see how that goes.
So. Yeah, well, you know, that happened to Mr. Fantasy and I last week. You know, we were in the running to win what they call the toilet bowl. We ended up finishing second and getting $100. But, you know, I had Nick Senzel in our lineup, the Reds rookie who'd been doing real well. And unlike the league you're in where it's daily, this is weekly. I plugged the lineup in and he got hurt on Monday and we were stuck for the rest of the week. So he got, you know, he got 1 point for us. They do this kind of goofy thing where they write up, you know, like a weekly review of how things went. And they were nice enough to put down that, you know, Senzel was the lowest point scorer at his position, but they somehow forgot to put that he was hurt and only played one game. So it was a point. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. But, I guess I shouldn't have expected anything less. Should we start doing that, Dan? Should you start writing a weekly recap for our leagues? No?
Yahoo should do that already.
Well, I was just thinking you could handle it. You know, you're commissioner.
Yeah, I'm forcing you to play next year.
Well, yeah, no, you know, it's like I said, as long as I could have picked a team, I would have been okay with it. I just don't want one of those Yahoo drafted teams for me because that kills all the fun for it. I mean, I made it through football, so hopefully I've got the internet thing worked out now. And, you know, I mean, hockey's all set. If you do want to play hockey with us, we do have one spot left. 19 out of 20 are filled, but we have one spot. You know the deal. Email Dan, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and he'll send you the link to sign up. Again, it is free, but, you know, we kind of do it just for bragging rights. And I think that draft is the end of this month because they open October 2nd. Then I think you're going to have to set the basketball league up because I think I made you commissioner. So you'll get the renewal and stuff for that. Yeah, I can double check here. I believe I made it for a Saturday. It would be a Friday or a Saturday. My guess with the league opening in the middle of the week, I made it for a Saturday. But I'll double check it real quick.
As long as it's not a Sunday in the middle of the day.
So, you know, see what it is here. I always wanted to do a Sunday, like, morning draft or afternoon draft to see how that goes, but I guess I'm the only one who's ever wanted to do that. So.
Yeah, well, I'm a soccer coach.
I'm sorry. So... Hopefully, I just saw that you probably shouldn't. You should probably get your daughter out of soccer now, Dan, because they're worried about CTE with, you know, tenders and stuff from the soccer ball. So. Okay. Why does this not want to? Oh, there we go. Didn't want to cooperate with me at first. Where's my hockey team at? Jeez. Yeah, Saturday, September 28th at 6:45. So, you know, yeah, normally when it's the middle of the week like that, I always kind of, you know, I make the draft a Saturday because I don't think they're starting till Wednesday. So, but yeah, again, you know, like if one spot left, you know, 19 out of 20, I dropped the five worst teams in the league from last year because normally those are the teams that don't change the lineup. But apparently, one of the guys I dropped actually was changing his lineup. He just had a bad year. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got back in. He saw that the league. He saw my Facebook page. I posted and he rejoined and asked me why I had dumped him out. So I just sent him a quick little message explaining, and it was cool. But yeah, I was like, sorry.
Yeah, I think my
but yeah, you
know, wife's nephew was on that list.
Yeah, you know, I am disappointed that it seems like we're already. Guys who have quit on the football league, and I mean these guys quit before like week one. So I don't know. We've got to come up with something else. I mean, you know, maybe next year I'll wipe 10 teams out and we'll try 10 new teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of them I've been telling you to drop for the last 3 years for whatever reason.
So.
Yep.
So, you know, because I know we keep putting our buddy Double J in, but I honestly think he just keeps drafting and then he goes away. You know, I know in baseball, I think he played like the first this year, and then that was it.
Well, because I demolished him on Sunday.
So, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. And again, that's the tough part. You know, you're looking for 20 solid players in these leagues, and it can be tough. But hopefully we'll have better luck. You know, maybe that's something we'll have to look into next year or try to come up with a plan. But, you know, again, jump in, join the hockey league, have some fun with us. You know, it's always a good time. You know, it is an auction league, so, you know, do be aware of that. You know, then you can make Dan overpay for all his guys.
Yeah, I was laughing. My wife's nephew told me he didn't understand what was going on last year. So he just left the draft.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a lot of people, that's the most fun part is the draft, you know. They don't...
No, he didn't understand the auction style.
Oh, okay. So, well, it's not hard. I hope he figured it out.
That's that's what I said. I'm like, you just hit the button, just bid, you get your guy.
So, you know, just those fun things you deal with. So, but yeah, I got my first kind of goofy trade in that other league I signed up for. I want to see if I can pull it up here for you. So yeah, it was one of those trades that didn't make kind of much sense for my team to do. But here, yeah, a guy wants to give me Frank Gore for Darren Waller, the tight end of the Raiders. And I'm under the impression that he wants to give me him because I didn't start Waller the first week, and in reality I ended up with two really good tight ends because the Ravens were, you know, just kind of out of control last week. But yeah, I have, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman as my starting running backs in this league. So I don't quite know what I would do with Frank Gore if I had him besides sit him on my bench. So.
Does he even play?
He's, you know, part of Buffalo has this odd rotation of running backs. So he kind of fits in there, but I can see this guy has Hunter Henry, so I can see why he's trying to hunt down another tight end. Oh. There we go. But all right, enough of that BS, Dan. I have to ask you here. Obviously, you know, I think we mentioned yesterday about 20 games left in the baseball season. Actually, a little less now. It's probably 14 or 15 for most teams. I think the Brewers had the one thing happen to them last night that couldn't happen. Christian Yelich is done in one of the odder ways, Dan. Fouled the ball off his kneecap and broke it. You know, the Brewers have been playing better. They had been making a bit of a run back into the wild card race for a while there. I kind of thought they were done and they were going to go away, but they keep hanging around. Is this what puts the nail in their coffin?
I think so. I mean, you figure what, they lose at least half of their RBIs and home run.
Well, yeah, probably even, you know, it might be even more than that. But, yeah, you know, they battled all their way back to just one game behind the Cubs. You know, they took three or four from the Cubs over the weekend. Trust me, I've got the emails to prove that. They've won five in a row now, and they're 8-2 in their, you know, in their last 10. But we're talking about a guy who, you know, won the MVP last season and, you know, was definitely going to be in contention to repeat. So you've got them just kind of, you know, and they do have a pretty easy schedule, but you got them kind of fading away. So, all right, let me see if I can
sorry about
get
that.
Some.
Yeah. It'll be a few minutes. Wait, what did you ask me now?
I said, so even though they have pretty much an easy schedule, you still kind of fade away?
Yeah, I think they fade away. And I mean, unless they're going to get something from out of the guys that, you know, they picked up over the last couple of years that you kind of anticipated would do. Play harder. I think they're going to fade away. And I think this gives the Cubs a little bit of momentum.
You know, they did get Keston Hiru back today, so that'll help a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, we're talking about a guy. Yelich had 44 bombs, 97 RBIs, and was hitting 329.
So yeah, definitely a really big hole to kind of try to fill here. You know, Hiru was the only other regular hitting over 300, and he's got a much smaller sample size than these other guys. So you know, the average takes a hit with Yelich not being there. Lorenzo Cain has been really disappointing this year. You know, in a year when everybody's hitting monster home run numbers, Cain has 8, and he's hitting .253. So, it's gonna be a difficult challenge here. I mean, I kind of figure this is it's gonna go, you know, one of two ways. Either they're gonna be hyped up, and it's gonna be kind of the rally around the injured guy type of thing. And they're going to make the big run, and they're going to find, you know, get themselves into the playoffs, or you know, this injury just deflates them, and they end up just kind of going away, which you know obviously is a you know either or is a good possibility. Sadly, I think it's probably going to be the latter, where there's just not. You know, not enough here. I mean, eventually they're going to, you know, they're going to end up running out of gas or, you know, however it works out. Again, I want to go over their schedule with you. And of course, now this is the time my internet doesn't want to cooperate with me. But you know, they have a pretty easy schedule down the, down the stretch here. You know, like now they're in the, I believe today is the third of a four-game series they have with the Marlins. You know, and obviously Miami is the worst team in the National League. And I believe Milwaukee has taken the first two games of that series. Well, of course they have. They won 5 games in a row, like I said earlier. So obviously they've won the first two games of that series. I look to take the third one tonight. And if, again, like I said, if my internet wants to cooperate, I can I can be a little more helpful. Yeah, they won 4-3 last night. And again, like I said, I just got to make sure that I'm I have the right 4 game series and everything. So we'll see how that goes. Yay, my internet caught up. Come on, where are we? They have today. It's they got Zach Davies going today, and then Gio Gonzalez going tomorrow afternoon. They do stay on the road this weekend, and this will be the toughest series they have left. They go to St. Louis for 3 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then they return home for a 4-game series against the Padres. Again, they're at home for 3 games against Pittsburgh. Before they finish the season on the road, they're going to Cincinnati and to Colorado to wrap up the season. So really, St. Louis is the only team that they play that is over .500. So they have an incredibly favorable schedule, compared to, they're chasing the Cubs. So they have a favorable schedule there. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to catch Washington right now for that top spot. So yeah, definitely.
I was going to say they, maybe I was wrong. Maybe they won't fade out as easily with that schedule. But how do the Cubs match up? What is their remaining 20-some games left look like?
Yeah. That's where I am right now. Well, the Cubs in, the same situation, they're wrapping up their series with San Diego, but, they blew that game last night in extra innings, and it's no surprise they're out west. They got Cole Hamels going tonight, Yu Darvish going tomorrow afternoon. Then they come home for a three-game series with Pittsburgh, followed by a 3-game series with Cincinnati, and then a 3-game series with St. Louis. So they have a 9-game homestand before they go out to finish the season on the road with 3 at Pittsburgh and 3 at St. Louis. So they have a much more difficult schedule than the Brewers do. So, you know, that could make make some of the difference in who's going to go on. I mean, I've said all along that the Cubs have the better team. In reality, the Cubs have a better team than St. Louis. They just haven't played like it. And, again, I equate that all to poor managing, which is, part of the reason I kind of advocate for a change there at the end of the year, because, this is a team that with the talent they had should have won more than one World Series. And, the guy in the dugout hasn't been able to figure it out. So it's definitely time for him to go away. Now, Washington is leading the wild card race. Let's see. They have two games left with Minnesota. They have Steven Strasburg tonight and Patrick Corbin tomorrow. That's in Minnesota. They come home for just a three-game set against Atlanta. Then they go on the road for six, three in St. Louis, three at Miami. Before they wrap up with, six games at home. And it's an interesting, is it six or seven? Let me make sure I'm not screwing. Oh, no, it is seven at home. They have Philadelphia in for four, which is definitely going to be make or break for the Phillies if they're still hanging around. They may need a sweep there. And then they end the season with three against Cleveland, who could also be battling for, that American League wild card spot. So, maybe there's a chance for, some of these teams to catch Washington. I don't think it's going to be a very big one, and I'll honestly be surprised if, anybody manages to make up that kind of ground. But, yeah, going down the stretch, Washington isn't going to have an easy schedule, and they're going to be facing teams that are going to want to win games. Not that every team doesn't want to win a game, but obviously it's a different level for, some teams than it is the other. It might make it a little interesting, just kind of depending on how it plays out.
Aren't they up by six or seven, Washington?
I'm looking right now. No, they're actually up by 2.5.
Oh, that's it. I thought it was more. I must not have been. Must have been just looking.
2.5 over the Cubs. 3.5 over the Brewers. 4.5 over the Phillies. And then 5 over the Diamondbacks. And then if you throw the Mets in there, they're 5.5 back. So
I mean, it's essentially going to be a tight race no matter how you play it. Let's just break it down, narrow it down to the Cubs and the Brewers. Let's say there's another one game 63. We'll throw it up. We'll flip a coin. Does it matter who really wins? Are the Cubs and the Brewers going to have the bats or what it takes to beat Max Scherzer?
Yeah, well, I asked you that question yesterday, if the Cubs do hang on. The one advantage the Cubs have is they may be able to run a pitcher out there who can match Scherzer. It won't be somebody who could get the strikeout totals that he will, but they'll be able to have somebody out there who can hold the Nationals to, zero or one run and keep the Cubs in the game. I don't think the Brewers have that. So that's the one, one really big advantage there is, the Cubs do have really quality, really veteran starting pitching, compared to, the Brewers and, the Nationals have those big three, but 4 and 5 is a little iffy when you get there. The Brewers, I don't even know if you could say the Brewers have an ace at this point in time. I honestly don't know. I mean, if they were to run into a one game scenario and they had their choice of starting pitcher, you know, I'm not even quite sure who they would pick. You know, I do know, you know, they do have Brandon Woodruff coming back from injury, and he was really good for them before he got hurt. So, you know, maybe possibly he could be the guy, but, you know, other than that, I mean, I don't have a, you know, don't have and haven't had a ton of faith in, you know, this Brewers pitching staff. So I'm not sure. Let me see here who they could, I'll throw some numbers at you, Dan, and you can tell me who you want to go with. All right. Here you go. They have Zach Davies has made the most starts, 9-7, 3.69 ERA. Chase Anderson has made 24 starts, 6-4 with a 4.57 ERA. I mentioned Brandon Woodruff. He made 20 starts before he got hurt, 11-3 with a 3.75 ERA. Your guy, Julius Chacin, has made 19 starts, 3-10 with a 5.79 ERA. Gio Gonzalez has made 15 starts. He's 2-2 with a 3.98 ERA. Jordan Lyles has made 8 starts for the Brewers, Dan, since they got him. He's 5-1 with a 2.51 ERA. Do you try to lean on Lyles to get you through, or do you go with one of, you know, your own guys?
Are we talking the one card, the one game, or the 163?
They get in the wild card game against Washington, and you need that one guy. And let's just say everybody's available because we don't know the situation. So, you know, is that your, you know, who's the guy you're going to?
Wade Miley. No, I think I'm going with Lyles. Yeah.
You know, and now here you go, Dan. In 8 starts, though, he's only pitched 43 innings. So you're only going to get 5 innings out of him.
Yeah, well, here's kind of the what I see. There's a word for what I was going to say, but I forgot it. My prediction, I guess, what I kind of fathom Craig Counsell will do. Now, you know, let's throw the 163 in there. He cannot try to pull that crap that he pulled with the Dodgers against the Cubs. Because at this point, I don't think Joe has enough to play with, no pun intended, to really worry about, you know, matching up the righty-lefty, except for maybe Kyle Schwarber might be the only, you know, switch-up. So I don't think he can kind of try to fool the Cubs with that crap. But when it comes to Washington, I guess they really don't have a lefty, heavy-duty left-handed batting lineup, so I don't know if that would work too much. But I still feel like Council would – I don't want to say go with an opener so much as I think we almost define an opener as maybe a one to two inning kind of guy. But I kind of got the feeling that he's looking for a starter to go 4 innings and then having another – starter or possibly long relief go the extra, you know, 3 or 4 innings.
Yeah, well, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, with the way they, you know, the way they handle things. So, you know, but yeah, that's kind of the hole I'm always thinking. You know, the Brewers are going to, you know, run into, and I know they only got 14 or 15 more games, but, you know, you're going to drain, you know, even with the expanded rosters, you're going to drain the bullpen, you know, for 14 or 15 more games, because that's what you've been doing all year is taxing your bullpen. You know, I know they'll get a little relief here with all the call-ups and stuff, but, you know, I don't know. So.
What? I guess I was going to say, how does that affect the postseason? But then again, with the call-ups, you can rest, sit some of these guys maybe a little bit more when you don't need them so that they're, you know, obviously rested for the playoffs. But, I mean, it's just
– Yeah.
I get it. The extra wild card team, it does make it exciting for the guys on the outside, the teams, the fans on the outside. But realistically, this year, you know, when you're going up against one game with Max Scherzer, and if you possibly beat Washington, now you've got the Dodgers. I don't know. I just it's almost like, does it really matter who wins the wild card this year?
I think, you know, it could. You know, I mean, if the Cubs can get there, you know, with that pitching staff, they can compete. You know, well, I should say,
yeah,
with that starting pitching staff, they can compete. You know, it's just, can they get there? You know, the Mets would be another one of those scenarios. If they somehow got in, you know, then you're talking DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, you know, I mean, Mott's, you know, you're looking at guys who can keep teams in games. I know besides Aaron Nola, I don't know if the Phillies have anybody else who could hang there. So, you know, I mean, depending on which team it is, you know, and then you add in some of the Dodgers' kind of struggles. You know, Kershaw's had his postseason issues. Hinjin Ryu, he's banged up. So they're going to have to find a way to get him healthy. So, you know, I mean, they're kind of having their issues up top, too. Luckily, they just clinched the division and they can coast the rest of the way home. So, you know, that obviously is going to be a big help for them. But, you know, yeah, unlike a lot of Cubs fans, you know, I'm not as down on the Cubs as they are if they can find a way to get in. You know, and my problem is they're just managed so poorly, I don't know if they can get in. You know, and then once you get this Watt in the playoffs, he's so bad at handling pitching, you don't know what this idiot's going to do either. I mean, you could have, you know, Kyle Hendricks go out and go four innings. He's pitching a no-hitter. You got to take him out after four because he walked the guy. So, you know, it's just kind of like, great, I'm going to go get, you know, well, I got to go get Rowan Wick because Hendricks walked some guy in the fourth inning. Great, that's what I want to see,
four.
Idiot.
Or he gave up a smack ground ball up the middle. Because Ben Zobrist and whoever's filling in. Yeah, exactly. Because those two guys really don't have the versatility. You know, and that's the other part is, it's not so much I don't have the faith in the team as a whole, but like you said, the management of that pitching staff.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Hendricks has 84 pitches and it's the fourth inning. He's got to go. He's due up. Second
seven.
In the bottom of the first, you know, fourth. Well, no, he's due up second, you know, in the bottom of the fourth inning, batting eight.
Yeah. You know, get the bullpen up. He's got to come out. So, but you know, the other thing I kind of wanted to address with you with this Yelich injury, you know, now I believe he still will get some MVP votes, which are well deserved. But
oh yeah,
he can't get the MVP. You know, it seems like everybody I've heard today is just kind of turning it over to Cody Bellinger. And, you know, not that Bellinger isn't having a good year, but his average has dropped quite a bit. He's down to 306.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, why isn't anybody paying attention to Anthony Rendon? I mean, the Nationals are a playoff team. Oddly, he's actually leading the National League and hitting at 335. He's got 41 doubles, 32 homers, and 114 RBIs. And then, of course, one of the stats we love, OPS, he's at 1044. What, is he invisible?
Well, yeah, he plays for Washington, where the only guy that the Washington Nationals have that anyone's going to talk about is Max Scherzer, because he breaks his nose
over
and throws a baseball.
Oh.
Yeah, well, Harper's gone. You know, like you said, though, he's been living in that Bryce Harper shadow for so long that I don't think anyone, you know, even realizes that Bryce Harper wouldn't – I don't even think Bryce Harper would have put up the numbers – that he put up despite the fact that I think his numbers should have been a hell of a lot better batting behind or batting in front of Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, you know, you would think. You know, so yeah, because like I think Rendon should get some consideration, and then you know Freddie Freeman is having a year kind of on par to Bellinger. You know, he's got 38 home runs, so Bellinger is ahead of him there with 34. Well, Freddie's got 117 driven into Bellinger's little fix. He's at 305, so he's just 1 point behind him. Bellinger is much better in OPS, though. He's at 1049 while Freddie's at 1069. But, you know, again, Freddie's a big winner, too, there in Atlanta, so doesn't he have to get a little consideration?
He should. But, you know, they're
so,
not
yeah,
50 home run guys last year. So,
no.
We're still, yeah. we're still voting on what guys did last year.
You know, like, I won't have a big problem if Bellinger does win it. He's played well enough to deserve it. That won't be a big issue with me. I just kind of don't like the fact that Yelich is out, so they definitely Bellinger's award. No, you know, there's other guys besides those two who were having great years.
That's part of the problem with the image of Major League Baseball. You know, the media that's in charge of voting for these awards, these are the same guys who cry that the game's too long and the season's too long. Well, then get another job. Go investigate, you know, Antonio Brown crap. You know, God forbid you have to do it for 6 months out of the year. Ooh-hoo, BFD. You know, that's part of it. And then you're going to hear about how the decline in baseball, the attraction, you know, for a fan base and blah, blah, blah. Well, the media is also a part of that too, a catalyst in that, in the fact that they're only going to talk about a couple guys. And if you don't fall into their favorites category, you're not, your team doesn't matter. I mean, how many kids Bryce Harper and Mike Trout fans buying their jerseys, making mom and dad buy their jerseys, hats, and shoes and whatever, because that's what they see on TV. Forget the fact that they've got a local team like Cincinnati who has one of, you know, the top power hitting third baseman in the game. But you don't want to, you know, you don't want to root for that guy. He's got a hard name.
You know, you can even kind of question why, you know, Ketel Marte hasn't gotten a lot of pub, you know, because you got to wonder where the Diamondbacks would be without him. I mean, you got a guy here hitting 329 with 32 homers. He's driven in 91. He would have more, but he's normally at the top of the order. And he's second in the National League with 9 triples. So, you know, I mean, there are guys out there that deserve mention and, you know, should be in the running. But, yeah, it kind of seems like they cast their votes and they're giving it to Bellinger regardless. So, I don't know. You know, like I said, it's not that he doesn't deserve the award. Like, I don't have a problem with any of it. I just kind of hate that they, you know, they short-sight everything and think, here's your one guy, you give it to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, doesn't that just lead you to ask again what defines, to go back to LeBron, what defines the MVP?
Well, figure it out,
or some radio guys.